On today's Part of My Take, we have a huge, huge show. We sat with Coach Jim Harbaugh at Schembechler Hall in Ann Arbor for over a half hour. Great interview coming up. We also went to Cavs-Celtics Game 3 Eastern Conference Final. Grit Week update and Hot Seat Cool Throne. Before we get to all that, I wanted to talk to you quickly about our friends at Stamps.com. Stamps.com is the best way to avoid those annoying lines at the U.S. Postal Service. You don't want to be that guy who's standing there waiting all the time. Use Stamps.com and you can buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter, any package, any class of mail using your own computer and printer. Stamps.com makes it super easy. They'll send you a digital scale, automatically calculates exact postage, and Stamps.com will even help you decide the best class of mail based on your needs. No need to lease an expensive postage meter or wait in those long, pesky lines I was talking about. Go to Stamps.com right now, and we have a little deal for you. Click on the microphone at the top of the homepage. Type in the promo code PMT. That's PMT at Stamps.com. Do that right now, and you will get a four-week trial plus postage and a digital scale. Stamps.com, put in that promo code PMT. Let's go. Hey! Welcome to Part of My Take. It is Wednesday, May 24th, and it's Kyrie's Cavaliers.
That's right. If there's one thing that we've learned doing this show, it's that there can only be one good player on each team.
Yes. And whose man's?
And whose man's is this? It's Kyrie's man's.
Yes.
We were at the game tonight.
Yeah.
It was fun. It was a very weird game because, one, I just want to say this, the NBA is paying the refs.
Ooh. The refs were pretty bad tonight. I said that they looked like college refs out there who are notoriously bad.
The NBA actually always pays the refs. That's how they get paid. But
yeah.
They're paying the refs.
But I'd agree with you that it was a weird game, mostly because, well, a few things weird happened. LeBron James had four fouls in the first half, which I've never seen. I don't think I've ever seen LeBron James get four fouls, period.
Mm-hmm. Well, this year he's been playing out of control. He's fouled out twice as much this year as he has in any years past.
Was it two times?
Two times this year.
Yeah, two times. And the Cavs looked like they were on the ropes, and then Kyrie was a Superman in the third quarter. He scored 42 points, 9 out of 10 in the third quarter. Watching it live, Kyrie Irving finishing at the rim is like, it's breathtaking. You don't realize how unbelievable it is when he contorts his body and like has all these weird angles and he somehow has a soft touch that rolls off the backboard.
The thing is, if he played back in the 60s, he wouldn't have got off the bench on John Wooden's team. Dribbles between the legs too much.
A little bit of a ball hog.
A little bit of a flashy showboat. But I guess, you know, if you score points in today's day and age, that's all you need. So, kind of an indictment of today's NBA.
Other things I noticed, Ty Lue just kind of stands there.
Ty Lue, three-piece tie.
Let's just get it right. Three-piece tie. He says,
let's go a lot.
Three-piece Ty Lue.
He's a statue on the sidelines. He needs to complain more because his team was getting hosed with all the calls.
Yeah.
And he just stood there the entire time. So, I actually had a thought tonight. If you're not going to complain or you're not going to be like demonstrative, if you're afraid of getting a technical and hurting your team or whatever, why not? Is there a rule that says that a coach can't throw up onto the floor?
Like the Jason Kidd when he had his players bump him into him so he'd spill a drink?
Yeah, but even that's a little bit different. Like, what's to stop a coach from just puking onto the floor and being like, you're reffing so bad it's making me sick?
Yeah. They call that the Coach K. That's when he gets dizzy and he gets like real red in the face.
Roy Williams does that too.
He did that in the NCAA championship against Wisconsin. He found the refs in the hallway and he's like, "You guys are going to kill me. Like, I'm gonna have another fake back surgery if you guys keep calling it like this." Called it the totally different way. I'm not still bitter. I'm not upset. But that was why they won, because Coach K did that.
Yeah, Tyronn Lue is obviously not really the coach of the team. Mm-hmm. He stands there in a suit on the.
Who's the coach?
Oh, he's like a senator.
Because who's the coach?
He stands on the sideline where he just stands still wearing a suit and hopes for things to get better.
Okay, the coach, Dante Jones, my former teammate. He has his 3-point celebrations down so perfectly. There's like a different one for each guy. He's the first one off the bench to high five. He's the coach.
I think
this he's the guy that talks shit to the other players after timeouts when they're walking back.
Dante
to the bench.
Jones was on fire. He might have had the second best performance behind Kyrie.
I did notice that Dante, he would do this thing every time there was a timeout taken by the Celtics. Dante would walk all the way to the corner of the floor, find the player that's farthest away, and then go and greet that guy.
Yeah,
just to get his minutes up.
Yes.
Out on the court,
get all the way out there. The other weird thing, the Cavs have like maybe the weirdest in-game entertainment I've ever seen.
There's so many breakdancers.
There's so many breakdancers. There's so many flashing lights. The bass, I'm convinced they're pumping in music. They did the USA soccer chant, the I Believe thing. That's a really bad look.
They threw,
I don't know, just clean the whole thing
they
up.
They threw like Sherwin Williams paintballs into the audience. They threw t-shirts.
They call it Loudville.
Yeah.
I swear to God, the Cavs crowd looked like a fake crowd that you have in a PlayStation game.
Once
everyone was wearing the same shirts, Loudville, and they were like every single second they had a chance to throw a t-shirt, they were throwing a t-shirt.
Once every 30 seconds, they'd bring out a t-shirt cannon.
Yeah.
And just fire it into
and that
the crowd.
Dog just doing shit, weird shit.
Yeah,
that dog was bothering me.
It was very
strange.
I'm
a dog guy, but
fuck
that dog.
They had live entertainment a few times. Actually, like three times, they brought guys with buckets out
guitars,
on the court that just started banging buckets.
Buckets
they
and
had
guitars.
They had a band out there that played Seven Nation Army, the dun-dun-dun-dun-dun.
Machine Gun Kelly
except
was weird.
They did the riff from Seven Nation Army about 40 times in a row and didn't change it at all. And then it was just done.
Hey, Machine
Give
Gun.
Give me Red Panda.
Machine Gun Kelly, maybe mixing a cheeseburger, dude. Weirdly skinny.
Yeah, if you're going to bring some skinny rappers from Cleveland, I want it to be Bone Thugs every single time. Mm,
good point. Are they alive?
Yes, they're all alive, I'm sure.
There we go.
I think one of them's got to be.
I think one of them's dead.
No, they're all alive. Not Uncle Charles is dead, and the guy's dog's dead.
Okay, so they're not all dead.
But I want to say two things that you notice in person. One, Brad Stevens looks bigger than he does on TV.
Larger than life.
So he looks like he's 5'9".
He's got the Mike Florio small face syndrome.
Yes.
He's got a small face.
LeBron James looks smaller.
Ooh.
Maybe that's just his
maybe
heart.
He's shrinking.
And LeBron James cries 10 times as much in person.
He
was literally crying every single chance he had.
I know hating LeBron is like the fat, what do you call it? The fad?
The fad du jour.
Yeah, the fad. It's fetch. And I do hate LeBron. And he is amazing, and I'll admit that, but he really does, like, there are many times where he just doesn't run back because he's complaining about a call.
Mm-hmm.
And every time he goes to the basket, he expects there to be a foul.
And he looks at his own bench, like, oh, like,
wait,
obviously.
This is basically a segue. Puking Green, Hank. This is Hank complaining about the Celtics.
I mean, Puking Green, we talked about it. The fans are a joke. All they do is just pump in fake DJ noise. They had the soccer chant, which was, not only was it the I believe that we will win, but they had the people chanting back was pumped in. Like, it wasn't even the crowd chanting back. LeBron cried at every single play.
Yes.
Brad Stevens outcoached Tyronn Lue.
Yes.
That's really it.
It's kind of disgusting how these Cleveland fans have to resort to gimmicks to express their fandom, unlike getting arrested in the NFL league office.
Standing for what you believe in versus cheering to I believe that we will win in a basketball game. Big difference.
The one thing I noticed watching a basketball game, watching Hank watch his basketball team, every single time Kelly Olynyk gets the ball, Hank just screams "and one." Like wherever he's on the court, he's just like "and one."
That's true. Because Kelly Olynyk's one of those guys that he looks like he gets fouled every shot because his shots are so bad.
Yes,
that it has to be a foul.
Yeah.
Quick wallet update: the wallet is still in the queue. So for those of you who might be new to the show, that maybe tuned in after last Grit Week. I left my wallet in the queue, and they have not lost an NBA title since then.
True.
So
facts only.
Right now, looks pretty good for the Cavs.
Let's do our hot seat cool throne. We do it every single Wednesday. Before we do it, I wanted to quickly talk to you guys about our friends at 18 Birdies. It is an awesome app. If you're a golfer out there, you need to download the 18 Birdies app right now. 18 Birdies helps you out. It gives you the tools to improve your game, like a powerful GPS, so you'll always know exact distance to the green. The 18 Birdies app also rewards you just for playing golf. No matter how good or bad you are, you can enter the 18 Birdies Dream Games Challenge, where they're giving away thousands of dollars in instant prizes like balls, clubs, and green fees. And those aren't even the big prizes every month. They're also giving away once-in-a-lifetime golf experiences. That sounds awesome. Do a little of it right now. Get the 18 Birdies app. A little lawyer talk for you. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Restrictions apply. See official rules at 18birdies.com/dreamgames. Download 18 Birdies today and make your phone the best club in your bag. My phone is always the best club in my bag because it plays music and I text when I do really bad and I stop. I quit.
There you go.
Of course. So like when I quit and I'm drinking and I'm like, I'd rather just check Twitter. Mm-hmm. Already the best. But now 18 Birdies makes it even better.
Love it.
Download it. All right. Hot seat, cool throne. Who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
Okay.
Hank, why don't you go first?
No, you said you'll go first.
Okay, I'll go first. My hot seat.
Actually, I'll go first.
Okay, Hank, you go first.
My hot seat is. Okay,
my hot seat is
pants.
Oh, it's short season.
It is short season. It's hot out. Time to put the pants away for the summer.
Little switcheroo. We're all wearing, well, two thirds of us are wearing pants right now, so.
I'm wearing shorts right now. Shout out Beachcomber.
Yeah. All right.
Beatcomber, sorry.
Yeah. My cool throne is taking the afternoon off and going drinking.
Ooh.
It's like, you know, like Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, if it's nice out.
Uh-huh.
You see the sunlight. You see, like, you envision the rooftop. Well, it's a nice time to take the afternoon off.
I'm going to put this out here. I think that rooftops are actually overrated.
Oh, disagree. Strong
rooftops
disagree.
Are overrated.
In New York City.
Beer garden guy?
I'm a beer garden guy and I'm a river guy.
Ooh. What does a river have to do with?
Well, when you're around rivers, there are no buildings around. So
yeah, but
how many rivers can we go to in New York City?
Rooftops and beer gardens go in the same because they're both in a city, and then you're just like, yeah, I mean, I guess I'm a mountains guy.
Yeah, bro. We live in Manhattan. It's surrounded by rivers.
True. But by the way, you're absolutely right, Hank, and I miss moving to Manhattan. Moving to New York has been the worst because when the Cubs played day games, I would just basically be at the bar by like 10:30, mm-hmm. and I wouldn't even work. So that you're right, and you can't get in trouble for that.
No,
because it's summer.
It's summer. Yeah.
Who cares?
Summer hours.
Yeah. PFT, what do you got?
My hot seat is Ohio State.
Mm.
The Ohio State University.
Good point.
We went to Michigan today. We met with Jim Harbaugh.
It was great,
and everybody there was wonderful. All their people were they were the tops.
Mm-hmm.
Their facilities were top-notch.
Top-notch.
Just all class exuding from the campus on Ann Arbor, unlike those guys down in Columbus.
Yeah, I'm just saying. They could rectify it. We're going to Columbus today.
I don't want to be too mean to the guys in Columbus, but I'm just saying you guys are behind right now.
Yeah, I sent the email, and then they said no, Urban Meyer and Greg Schiano are not available. So then I replied, and I said, too bad. We just spent a great afternoon with Coach Jim Harbaugh from the University of Michigan. Ever heard of him?
I have to meet Greg Schiano and just sing.
Care to discuss?
Just sing Schiano Man to him.
I did send that email, so we'll see if we ever get a reply.
And my cool throne is Cleveland's meme game.
Mm.
I don't know if you guys noticed this, but behind the baskets during free throws, when every time Hank yelled and one and Kelly Olynyk got to shoot a foul shot, behind the baskets they would wave these big fathead type signs with masks on them. And it was actually Grumpy Cat.
Mm.
And it was, let's see, I wrote another one down. It was
the chick from Golden Girls was out there.
Yes, that's right. It was Betty White and it was Grumpy Cat. So Cleveland, their meme game is strong.
They're
very current right now.
Yeah.
Some guy had a sign that said, is a hot dog a sandwich?
Oh, wow.
Looking just on top, finger on the pulse.
I like that. When you come to Cleveland, you can basically get in a time machine and you go back to like 2015. Reddit.
Yes. Right behind the basket, that's the E-Bombs World section.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And then meat spins up in the 300 level. There's kids there, so we want to make sure.
Yeah.
Be careful. All right. My hot seat is ESPN.
Ooh.
Yeah. Jay Mariotti.
Don't you mean MSESPN?
MSESPN. Jay Mariotti has claimed that he's going to sue our friend Scott Van Pelt and own ESPN. So I don't think Jay Mariotti knows what libel is, but he's claiming it. And now
that's fine.
We know, everyone knows that Scott's a friend of the program. He's a recurring guest. But even if he wasn't, I don't think that changes the fact that Jay Mariotti's a colossal dickhead.
Well, Jay's got a really good track record in the court system, so let's not put him down too much right now. I want to refrain from discussing this. It is a conflict of interest. Mm-hmm. He's our employee as our senior Icelandic correspondent.
True.
So if Jay ends up owning ESPN because he wins a lawsuit for hating Scott Van Pelt, then we stand to actually inherit ESPN.
Ooh.
So I wish him all the best.
True. Yeah. Best in this endeavor here.
Yes.
You fuck stick.
And if you're a lawyer, don't work on contingency for him.
Yeah,
That's probably a bad idea.
Yeah. Mike Portnoy, if you're listening to this. just keep working for us on no pay instead of Jay Mariotti. Also no pay.
Also no pay, but more work.
Yeah, more work. Infinitely more work. My cool throne is Leonard Fournette. Did you guys see this?
Uh-huh.
Leonard Fournette has a younger brother named Leonard Fournette.
Ooh.
And he got arrested for using a fake ID and trying to gamble. So
okay,
they literally have the same name except for two letters at the beginning. So it's Leonard and Leonard.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is huge for Leonard because now he can just blame that it's his brother all the time.
Yeah, this actually, it reminds me of back in the day, Marcus Vick got arrested for using Michael Vick's old ID in Blacksburg, Virginia. So the second most famous attendee and football player at Virginia Tech in the last 20 years was using the first most famous's fake ID.
Yeah.
Somehow they found out who it was. I got to wonder if Leonard was using Leonard's fake ID.
Probably. So either way, this is good for Leonard. If you're a parent out there, a new parent, and you're thinking about having a couple kids, and you think one's going to probably be better than the other, name the shittier kid just a letter off so that all of his mistakes, or anytime your good kid, the one that's your breadwinner, fucks up, you can just blame the shittier kid.
That's a great strategy. I do regret that the two brothers never played together at LSU because one of my favorite things of all time is when a player has a jersey and he's got his last name on the back, but then he has to have like five letters of his first name
to separate it. A.
Yes.
Yeah.
That
Lana Fournette.
I love that. Yeah.
All right. Let's go to our interview with Jim Harbaugh. So just a quick update on Grit Week. We went from West Virginia to Detroit on Monday. We actually sat with TJ Lang and the Detroit, a couple of guys from the offensive line. We're going to have that out probably at the end of the week. Sorry, TJ, you got bumped for Jim Harbaugh. We went to Detroit. Then we went to Ann Arbor. We sat with Jim Harbaugh for, like we said, over a half hour. Probably the most fun interview we've done in terms of just like his enthusiasm for football. We were doubting ourselves, by the way.
Yeah, so going into it, we were kind of put in a holding pattern outside of his office just to wait for Jim to get ready for us. And some of the assistants came out and were talking to us, and we were just like, you know, we don't know what to expect. And they're like, yeah, you know, just be yourselves. And we were doubting ourselves because we had heard that, you know, sometimes I've heard some interviews with Jim.
Grumpy cat. He can be grumpy cat.
I've heard some interviews with him that go off the rails, not necessarily saying it's his fault when it does, but I've heard it go badly. So
we forgot one thing.
We're football guys.
Jim Harbaugh is a football guy. He took one look at us, and he was like, oh.
I like these guys.
These guys are football guys.
He wouldn't let us leave after it was over.
Yeah. He was so much fun. He's like the nicest guy. And also, special shout out. This was the hardest interview we've ever had to get, like to attain. It took the most amount of work, but we had a lot of help. So shout out to Wilton Spate,
Sam Schwartzstein,
JT Rogan, and Dave Abloff. I must have texted these guys and emailed these guys like every single day for the last 10 days. And we didn't find out we were interviewing Jim Harbaugh till 9 a.m. So it was hard work. It was grit for them to come through for us. So special shout out to them. They were all really nice. And then now we have Jim Harbaugh. And this was a great interview.
Can we say what happened right before the interview?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So we walk into his office and he comes out of the bathroom to greet us. And he's got toilet paper stuck to his face. And we're like, Jim, you okay? And he was bleeding. He had just shaved, so he was bleeding profusely from like right underneath his nostril. And so he's like, hang on, guys, I just got to wait for this to stop bleeding. And we sat around for about like 10 or 12 minutes just talking to him while he was just bleeding out of his face.
Yes.
And he was like, sorry, guys, I'm going to be done bleeding here in a second. Yeah, it but it actually worked out well in our favor because we got to know Coach for a little bit beforehand. Yeah. And like we said, you know, he got to know that we were football guys.
Right.
So
spelled it on us.
By the time he sat down, he was like, okay, just three alphas talking here.
Yeah. All right. So here's Jim Harbaugh. Enjoy.
What's up, guys? Let's talk about the CreditWise app with a message brought to you by Capital One. As you all know, I'm a big stats guy, so I think numbers are great. But on their own, they don't tell you the whole story. It's like looking at the final score of a game without checking any of the stats or knowing any of the context. Credit isn't any different. The first step to understanding your credit is knowing what factors contribute to your credit profile. In fact, there's a lot more to credit management than just knowing your score. And since there's no one single score that lenders use, knowing these factors are key. So here's a hot tip for our award-winning listeners out there. Don't be a weenie. Do what I did. Go and check out the app. CreditWise is different from other credit apps. It gives you access to your information from your TransUnion credit reports to understand your behaviors and helps you spot signs of error or identity theft. Plus, you can check it as often as you want for free without negatively impacting your credit. So go online, mash that download button right now, and get the CreditWise app today. And go tell a friend. Numbers are great with context. Get that CreditWise app right now from Capital One. All right, we now welcome on a very, very, very special guest here on Grit Week. I don't think we could have asked for a better guest in terms of grit and what grit means. We are at the University of Michigan with Coach Jim Harbaugh. Thank you for taking some time with us. First question, let's talk about grit. What does grit mean to you?
Well, first of all, thank you. That's a very nice compliment. Somebody to be described as having grit, having some gravel in the gut. I mean, that's a very good thing, and I appreciate it. I told one of our players, Ben Mason, who's a freshman linebacker, he early enrolled. He went through spring practice. I've never seen anybody go forward and hit somebody, you know, better. I think this guy was just made to be a fullback. And that'd be a great way to be described, right? I mean, that's grit right there.
Absolutely.
Going forward and hitting somebody better than anybody I've ever seen. I'd like to be described that way. You could put that on somebody's gravestone.
And that's a good one.
Yeah. As a coach, is there a way to build grit in people, or is it something that you found is just either have it or you don't when you get on campus? Or if there is a way to build it, how do you figure out who needs to be addressed and how to move forward with that?
Absolutely, you can improve and become better at toughness. You know, it's a talent, but it can be acquired too. I think of it like building a callus. You know, just like the human body, what a tremendous organism. I mean, it actually craves contact. I mean, it likes contact, craves it, as opposed to a car. I mean, if you backed into a brick wall, that would cause at least $2,000 worth of damage. It doesn't have the ability to repair itself or callus over, but the human body does. So, much like conditioning can be improved. I mean, so can that callus of toughness and grit also be acquired or improved. I mean, it'd be like you got a blister. It's soft. It's pussy. It's ready to, you know, it's got fluid in it. It's gonna break. But the great thing about it, when it does break, and it'll callus over even stronger and harder and better.
So, and now it's gritty.
It's gritty.
Do you, when you go out and recruit, is that like a tangible thing you look for, the toughness, the grittiness, how much some guys love playing football? You know, if a guy is a five-star recruit but he's not really in love with football, would you rather have a guy who's a three-star recruit who loves football?
Yeah, definitely. You know, people are going to be better at things that they love, right?
I mean, right.
You're going to work harder at it and you need it, if you need it too. I mean, you know, some people need the sport of football.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I would put myself in that category.
I
love it.
We're football guys.
The three of us all need football.
I need it. I need it.
Some
people like and need ice cream. You know, they want to eat it every day. I look at football like that. I need it.
I need football.
It's like a drug.
That's
maybe
the greatest quote that's ever been said on this podcast, because it sums us up too. We need football.
That and the human body craves contact. I like that one a lot too. I'm just going to start running into stuff.
But it's so true. We need football. Yeah. Now, you need it in a different, you like to coach it. We just need to watch it.
Mm. Yeah.
We love to watch football.
Oh, good. Good. Yeah. I mean, look how hard you work at it. I mean, how many interviews do you do?
Yeah.
We're some of the best football watchers in America.
I mean, you drive that great van around.
Yep.
That little, what is that, a class? Is that a class A?
It's 93. Yeah, it's class A. It's a
got the thing over
Gladiator.
The top. Got
yeah.
The best part about that van.
We named it Vanny Woodhead.
Yeah.
Because it's Grit Week, and Danny Woodhead is like the grittiest guy.
So we named our van
that
after
that might him. Be the greatest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah.
And Vanny Woodhead.
We had Danny had a minute. Inside Vanny
on
Woodhead.
Saturday. He drove it a minute?
Yeah. He was driving it around.
That's classic.
And
of course you did.
The best part about it is Vanny Woodhead is technically older than our producer, Hank. So Hank was born in 1994 and Vanny Woodhead was born in 1993.
Now, the classic would be, maybe you've already done this, maybe you already thought of this, but you're ending in Indianapolis, right, at the 500. Yep. You got to get Vanny Woodhead.
And it doesn't go so fast. Well, it's
not during the competition. Right.
Can
you talk to the Speedway? And
they're a little bit protective of the vehicles they let drive over the bricks.
See if you can get one lap around.
Yeah,
we'll try.
That would be fantastic.
I've seen buses go around there before. I mean,
Vanny's definitely slower than a bus.
It's not leaking oil.
There's a few leaks.
I'm not a doctor, and I don't know what the fluid was, but it was dripping something out onto Dana Holgerson's driveway.
We kept saying it was water, but I don't think it's water. It's something else.
I've always wondered this about you because you obviously coached at Stanford. Now you coach here at Michigan. Did you recruit a different type of player, or were there different characteristics that you would look for as a head coach at Stanford as opposed to up here?
No. I mean, just football players. I mean, you know it when you see it, and you can see it day after day. I always think of it like it's a. You really got to tell the truth when you get on the football field. You know, tell the truth. Do you have talent?
Tell the truth.
Yeah. Have you put in the effort? Are you stronger? Are you faster? Or are you not? It happens out on the football field almost like a truth serum. You know, there's no way to bullcrap your way around it. You know, you can't send an email and, hey, I'm really good. Eventually, you got to get out there on the football field and you see what the fruit is, you know, like in the Bible, you can tell a good tree by bears good fruit, a bad tree bears bad fruit. By your fruit, you will be known. So right. By your talent, by your effort in football, you shall be known. So, not different, you know, at college or pro or high school, it happens al natural out on a football field, and the truth comes out.
Well, you have that quote right there, and you have your second book coming out with your father.
Yeah,
when's that coming out?
As soon as it gets printed, it's off being printed right now.
We're excited. So. It's a book made for us because it's photos, and you guys put a bunch of your favorite quotes on it, right?
Yeah.
So we're not big readers, so that's perfect. We just look at the
pages. One or two sentences a page. That's good for me.
But the quote,
you're gonna like this book. That's
yeah, fun. This quote is my favorite quote here. You have it on the board. It says, "Ain't hard being a football player if you're a football player."
Right.
And that's it.
That's it. You know, and that comes from a long, many years of listening to people, whine or complain or, you know, how tough things are. And this is so hard. And this is so rough. Practices are long and that kind of thing. But if you're a football player, you crave the contact. You know, you like going to bed at night, having the head hit the pillow and the muscles are sore, you know. They ache. You've sweated. You're exhausted. As soon as your head hits a pillow and you close your eyes, you're asleep. You really like that. So yeah, it ain't hard being a football player if you're a football player.
Mm. I like that.
I love it.
We might have to do that for bloggers too, because we're bloggers.
It ain't hard being a blogger if you're about that life.
Yeah. If the head hits the pillow when and then you sit sleep, and check Twitter for 2 hours and
you
and
know you got sleep. Better that day, right?
Yeah.
If you're sore, if you're tired, if you've sweated.
Yeah. I sweat a lot.
You sweat a lot?
Even if I'm not doing physical activity, I still sweat. So that's how you know I'm a real football player.
Are you walking something off right now? You got an injury or something? You got cornea?
I broke my – the cornea is messed up. I broke my foot a while ago. But like you said, I'm not a guy that complains about it or talks about it all the
time. Just walk it off.
I basically walked it off for about a week and a half.
I got
then,
bit by a dog.
Yeah.
Walk like it off.
6 months ago. Complain
about
walked
it.
It
not
off.
Once.
Walk it off.
Boom. Yeah. Walk it off.
Jump back to recruiting real quick. It's funny because you've obviously experienced coaching in the NFL and in college, and a lot of college coaches, they seem like once they reach a decent amount of success, they kind of delegate the recruiting a little bit. You seem like you really enjoy recruiting. Is that a fair assessment?
Yes, it's an amazing process just to go all across the country and you meet really good people, you know, and it makes you feel good that there's genuine, down-to-earth, good people, and they have one main commonality. They want the best for their son, in our case, in football. And, you're welcome into a home. Picture this, and, you take your shoes off. They say, Coach, sit here. This is, we want you in this chair. My wife has prepared a wonderful meal. Then you eat a meal. It's like maybe the top 5 or 10 you've ever eaten in your life. And, you get to know a family, and they get to know you because of really you become like part of the family. That's when it really works the best. And you are, they tell you, you're in this circle that is a family, and it's a responsibility to take very seriously, but it doesn't seem like working. You're connecting, and you're striving to be somebody's best friend they've ever had professionally. And so you got to get to know them, tough to be somebody's
quickly too, right?
Tough to be somebody's best friend they've ever had professionally if you don't get to know them and they don't get to know you. So it's a wonderful process, a real honor to be somebody that somebody trusts enough to drop their most prized possession that they have in the world. And it doesn't matter what they have financially or don't have financially, they are dropping their most prized possession in the world off at your doorstep, and they expect you to return them the same good quality person that they drop off. That's a huge responsibility, but it's also a tremendous honor that somebody would trust you to be in that role.
It seems like they would probably trust you if they're letting you roll out a sleeping bag into their living room. Yes. At that point, you have to think like, okay, I've got this one, because they're letting me stay in their house on their floor. Was that your idea?
It was, and the rules are set up that a head coach can go visit a player the in-home visit one time, and only in the months of January or December. So instead of being 2 hours, how about let's make it 24 hours? Mm-hmm. Let's really
sleep over.
If we're going to do this, let's do it.
Let's get to know and let you kick the tires here. I mean, what's somebody really like, you know? And I used to snore. Now I got a sleep machine, so don't snore as much.
Having a sleepover as a kid was the best. I don't know why, just have a little sleepover. Stay up too late.
Drink some video games.
Some Jolt Cola.
Yeah. You do. You stay up a little bit, and you talk. You tell stories. You laugh. You get to know, and you get to know everybody else in the family. It's amazing. Sometimes the coach comes over. Sometimes there's an uncle, or sometimes the cousins. It's I've had some amazing time. You pop a little popcorn and watch some highlights. Donovan Jeter, we watched an entire playoff game. I mean, that was awesome. And get to hear what he was being coached. Now I understand what kind of player he is, things that he needs to improve on, things that he does well. Then you sit down, you have a great dinner, and wake up, get breakfast. Then you go to school. Now you meet some of the teachers and counselors. And
you went to school with them.
Yeah.
Did you take notes in his classes?
I've been in some really – I didn't go to Donovan's Cheaters school. I went to school with Quinn Nordine. Went to school a couple different places. Devin Asiasi went to school with him. It was set in an amazing religious education class. Education is wasted on the young. I don't know if anybody's ever noticed that before, but I would – it is great to go back to class now.
Yeah, and I'd be like, oh, wow, I should have listened there.
Absolutely. This is really interesting.
Say that to myself all the time.
I wish my mind hadn't been wandering.
Exactly. I didn't pay attention in high school history, but I'll sit on the couch and watch 5 hours of World War II documentaries.
Right.
Back to back to back.
You're a history guy.
I love it. Yeah, big history guy.
Right.
20th Century Wars, that's kind of your...
20th Century Wars, yeah.
World War II in particular?
Yeah, fascinated with all that stuff.
Me too. Yeah. Me too.
Football guys. There we go.
Just football guys and history guys. Actually, that's the longest book I ever read was D-Day by David Halberstam. Did he write that?
That sounds right.
I don't even know. It was like 1,000 pages about D-Day.
Well, have you been in Normandy?
I haven't. I want to go so badly.
Yes. That's an amazing experience. My wife Sarah and I were able to go there.
I bet. I need to go.
Now, you were in Italy earlier this year, right? You met the Pope. You gave him some Jordans. How'd you know what shoe size he was going to wear?
My wife researched that. Sarah researched that.
That's like something you could Google?
I don't know how she
got it. That's,
found it, but she did find it and found that our Holy Father is a 9 or 9.5. I can't remember which. And he also wears orthotics. Good for him, right?
Yeah.
And so
went those up, arches went up fixed,
a,
yeah.
Went up a size.
Yeah.
But he's infallible, so shouldn't he not need orthotics?
Yeah.
He is an amazing, amazing holy person. I mean, in his presence it was life changing. You know, the beautiful face, smile, beautiful eyes, but a burden too. You could tell he got pain. It was like if Jesus were human, this is what he would look like. That was the experience that I felt. And thank goodness for my wife, Sarah, because she was able to talk. After I handed Pope Francis the helmet and the shoes, I really became like one of those marble statues that are at the Vatican and in the museums. I mean, I was...
Yeah.
Fortunately, my wife was able.
There you go. Was he impressed by the Jordans? Does he realize how? Because those are like, the Pope is a big deal. Jordans are a really big deal. The sneakers, like people, you know,
they stand in line for a while.
Right, exactly. People stand in line probably longer to get Jordans than they stand in line to meet the Pope.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I think the inbox for the Pope is pretty big.
Yeah,
you know,
true.
People all over the world that are coming to him for their spiritual guidance and. You know, and like I said, you could see there's a burden there, you
know,
the poverty, injustice, wars, and you could really see that in his eyes. He asked Sarah to pray for him, and he said, "Don't forget, pray for me." And you know, through his eyes and through those words, I could, you know, really, that's where this come from. There was such a goodness and a holiness that was right there to be seen and heard.
Little bit of a lighter question. If Jim Harbaugh has eligibility still left, do you put yourself on the depth chart?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, you do. Right, I love it. Maybe like the backup in case someone gets injured. You're like, okay, I'm going to go out there and take a few snaps.
Yeah. definitely. You know, I've been playing. I play in dreams. I have, I don't ever have any coaching dreams. But I have football dreams still, and I play. You know, I've noticed I'm not playing. They're not so much NFL games anymore, sometimes, you know, sometimes I'll be D1, but you know, more and more, I'm playing. I'm in the D3 now.
I've scrapping it up.
I got another year of eligibility. Nobody would sign me, and I was able to get a.
Are you playing as young you or you right now?
It's young me. I think I'm moving like young me, you know. But I still have older me face, and you know,
and you have heavier. You have your wisdom from all the years.
And sometimes I'm just right back in young me too. It's a dream, you know. So you get to. You don't have a total lot of control over it, but I'm right in there playing, not coaching. It's I love those football dreams.
That's I was gonna say. If anyone doubted that you need football, you're dreaming about football.
Dreaming
playing
about
football.
Yeah.
What's your typical stat line in your dream? Are you like lighting it up out there? Or are you coming from behind in the fourth quarter? Or what?
Yeah, it's usually the fourth quarter that the dream starts that I remember the dream, and something's happened where. I mean, almost always in the dream, maybe it just gotten to within 7 or just within 3. Something might have gone bad in the previous series, but then I'm usually trotting out. The dream ends, and I'm out there for the final series, and I haven't had one where it actually finishes.
You know, ooh.
Kind of wake up and it's
forever searching for that final touchdown.
Like the guy rolling that ball up.
They say dreams really have nothing to
this
do
is
with
deep,
with real life at all. But that's
that has real life.
Kind of the dreams boy. Right when I retired, I went right into coaching. So I played 15 years in the NFL and I started working with the Raiders, and then I got a head job at the University of San Diego, and there was a spring league at that time, an arena league, and LA had a team. So I looked into this would be awesome. I'll coach in the fall. You know, I'm only 42.
Right.
You know, and I'll play arena in the spring. Yeah. Awesome. You know, I get to play football. I can still do this.
You light it up out there in arena football too.
Your staff might help with recruiting. Right. Might help with recruiting. Right. You know, but it ended up not happening.
Didn't you coach for a while, like part time, while you were still playing?
Yeah, I was at Western Kentucky. Yeah, for my dad.
How would you juggle that schedule?
I was playing for the Bears or the Colts or the Chargers at the time, and I would just play the season. But then, right when the season's over, as an NFL football player, you have time. So I would go and recruit for my dad. So it was all in the off season. As soon as my season was over with the Bears or the Colts, I would just go start making home visits and evaluations in high schools. First player I ever recruited was Willie Taggart. Mm-hmm. Actually, he was the second player recruited, first one that I signed. now he's the head coach at Oregon.
Right.
So, it became my hobby. It became the thing that I would do in the off season. Some other people did.
Your hobby is football. Your job is football. Your hobby is football.
All football all the time for the last, 35 years, something like that? What would you be doing?
No, more. Your whole life.
What would you be doing if football had never been invented? I know that's kind of a scary thought to bring up, but if football had never been invented, what would you be doing?
Wait, before you answer that, how long have you been in love with football? Because you're just doing the mental math in your head.
Yeah, no, I've been ate up with football, in love with football since the third day of practice, 1973, first day they put the pads on. And
third day.
I was in the tackle.
First day, you're like, man, this might not be for me. Second day, okay.
Second day. Even the third day, I was thinking, hey, do I really need this? I'm a good basketball player. I'm an outstanding shortstop and pitcher. You know, and I had to tackle the biggest, toughest guy on the team. He had your 5 o'clock shadow you got there?
Yeah.
Very similar, you know. But he weighed about 130 pounds, and I was
about
95.
That.
So, had to tackle him. You know, coach said, you got to tackle him. That's why I felt. I'll stop.
This is my life.
Learned a lesson about pad level that day.
I'm good
at
other sports. Yeah. I don't need this.
Okay.
You know? But, got run over, but was still able to make the tackle. And from that day on, I learned that, if I'm scared of something, we got to transform fear into aggression. That was one good lesson that worked. And then the other thing was I love football. I love football. I gotta do this every day. Yes. This is awesome.
And your body started to develop a callus at that point.
Yeah.
That first time you got run over, right?
Yeah.
Got a little grittier.
So
I'm going to modify my previous question, because I have a feeling.
I knew I needed to get stronger, too.
I have a feeling your answer would be if football had never been invented, you would play another sport. So I'm going to take all sports off the table.
Uh-huh.
If sports had never been invented and you were picturing yourself growing up, what would you have wanted to become?
the peel the onion back, peel the layers back, and get down to the what's that under there? What's under there? The
middle of the onion.
The middle of the onion.
Yeah, I don't even know. Yeah,
the id.
Yeah. I don't like going there. I don't even know what's there. honestly, I knew from the very youngest age that I was gonna play football as long as I could, then coach, then die, and I really haven't thought about deviation from that plan.
It's worked out pretty well.
That's
for you.
It right there. And that was why the stories about you, how you started drinking milk at a young age, just being like, I need to get stronger. So how much milk would you drink?
As much as my belly could hold. I had a great job that really nobody. I had a great job at school, St. Francis Elementary, where I was. They asked for somebody to deliver milk. And they said, you get a free carton of milk. That was good. You got to get out of class 15 minutes earlier. There was always two people that did it. So me and another, I was in second grade at the time, and another like third or fourth grader and I were doing it. And the thing that I learned was that every kid that was sick or was absent from school, I got to drink their milk too. So I literally was able to drink as much milk as I could hold.
And the
for day, worked. And I never missed a day of school. Yeah. Literally, I got a perfect attendance certificate every year. I was striving for it.
Never missed a single day of school.
I went a good five, six years without that. Every year that they had that perfect attendance sticker, yeah. They were giving it out, I was getting it.
Now, did you ever get sick and still go, or were you just perfectly healthy?
Yeah, I mean, just walk it off and go. You got to get there. I gotta get there, man.
You got to get your stick. Walk it off a sickness.
Walk it off. But that many years. That yeah. many years of really – and then I continued into the high school. And the proof being that – nobody in my family is over 6 foot. My brother, John, and my dad are the second tallest Harbaughs. It's right at 6 foot. I got to 6'3".
There you go. So that is. I mean, I'm not a scientist. We do sometimes dabble in science, but drink more milk.
Is it too late for me?
Well, now, once you start shaving, are you shaving every day?
No.
If you're shaving, as soon as you start shaving every day, then it's too late.
Okay,
you've done your growing, but... before that, and I think the studies are going to back us up here right now. Milk is, it does do a body good.
Yes, you know, it does.
It does build strong bones.
And you went from the quarterback that everyone says, he's good, but he's a little undersized, to the prototypical size.
Got there.
Yeah, you know? That's it. That's the 6 feet to 6'3".
And I prayed a lot about it, too, and drank milk.
There you go.
That's the magic potion right there.
What do babies drink when they come out of the...
milk.
Milk.
Come out of the womb.
Milk.
Uh-huh. Drink. That's healthiest stuff on earth.
That's it. Do
baby
you
calves, what are they...
So you delivered the calf. Let's talk about
that. Did you wake up the other morning thinking...
Fed him milk.
Today I'm going to deliver a calf? Or was it just like a crime of opportunity?
That was just a window of opportunity and got asked to do it and never realized that was on the bucket list. But if you... Fair Oaks Farm in Indiana, if you have a chance to go there, it's like Disneyland, but better because everything's real. You know, there's real animals, calves being born. You can feed the calves, the little older calves, milk, pigs, see how they're fed. You understand that this whole, vegans don't know what they're talking about.
Thank you. Thank you.
And two, the people that are organic is a sham too.
Right.
You know?
It's a very arbitrary line as to what's organic and what isn't.
Yeah. People are throwing that on their brands. Hey, it's organic. You know, this is
an organic podcast.
Yeah. It's not
just slapped it on there.
Yeah, organic is not more healthy. It's not sustainable. We're going to 9 billion people on the planet.
It's getting crowded.
Yeah, the resources that it takes to make something organic uses twice as the resources that it does otherwise. I mean, that's not sustainable.
Right? Yeah, but then you can sell it for like 3 times the price at Whole Foods.
Now we've broken the code. Yes, we've broken the code.
Cracked the code right there. when was the last time you went to a baseball game? So I've always been a fan of and a defender of the baseball glove at the baseball game. When was the last time you went?
Defender. Why wouldn't you wear a baseball glove?
You get some heat on social media. I don't know if you know that for it, because people think that grown men wearing. But I'm on your side. I actually have a friend.
Yeah, ridiculous. That's ridiculous.
I got to show you. So I have a friend. His name is Foul Ball Guy.
Yeah.
Zach Hample. He has like thousands of foul balls.
Thousands.
And he took me to a game and showed me all his tricks.
21.
21.
That's still pretty good.
Okay.
So legit though. Are all his legit?
No.
Some are
batting practice. Yeah.
It's not bad. You can't count. I don't count batting.
You have 21 in game. Are they all major league balls?
Yes. Yeah, I don't count. I didn't count the I mean it's easier to get the college ones.
Right.
That's
right.
It's a lot easier.
So you never even thought for a second like, maybe I'll leave my glove at home.
No, you might find yourself.
There's that classic picture. You were like, I think you were behind a net and you had your glove because if the ball goes up.
Yeah, it's gonna be tough, yeah.
But it could happen.
It can happen. You know, the ball is always going to track back on a foul ball from home plate. It's always going to track back to home plate. So,
right.
You know,
that's
when you got the 21. High screen, you're going to have to get turn the back. Like you see the catchers. The catcher always turn the back to home plate. I've caught two that way.
Okay.
I got two that way.
Right next to the, like one first row.
Yeah, the first row. One almost went over. One almost went over, but was able to.
21.
That's a tough angle.
Did you ever go over the wall?
Did you ever have like a drought where you were in your career of catching
a little bit
foul
of a
balls?
Drought right now?
Oh, you are. Yeah, when was the last one?
You know what the problem has been? The last one was in San Francisco, Diamondbacks, Giants game. Big unit was pitching, so it's been that long.
Oh, wow. Wow. You are in a drought.
It's been like three or 4 years. But the get too good of seats now. You know, it's like the go to the Dodgers were great. Yep. I mean, it was literally practically felt like you were in the game.
Right.
Because you're like, I was three rows back from home plate.
We need to get you some gritty seats.
Yeah, some gritty seats. Yeah. We'll put the disguise on you, the fake mustache, the fake glasses, and sit you out.
My dad
in the back.
And I had a we had left field at Wrigley.
At Wrigley, I saw
the World Series. Yeah. And one came about 10 yards from me. And I saw it right off the crack of the bat. It was homer by the Indians real early in the game. And my wife, who was 7 months pregnant, was right next to me right here. So, and then there's a railing. So at the crack of the bat, I'm like up, moving. I know I got to go over this railing.
Uh-huh.
I know I'm going to have to like kind of step. There was like a little tray right above her leg.
Uh-huh.
I figured I could get on that tray, up to the steps, over the top.
Little,
at least get there for the ricochet.
Right.
I'm not going to get there probably for the
rebound. Rebound position.
But most of the balls that you get are not clean caught. I mean, all you got to do is go low. When you see the crowd of hands go up, just go low. Dive in low between the seats. That ball's going to come down. Then you're just you're right there for it.
Like in football, pad level. Low man wins, right?
Low man wins. That's one of the greatest phrases in football. But, hey, I just very quickly assessed it. 6 months could slip here. Don't.
So you didn't do it.
I didn't do it.
That's maturity right there. There it is. It's finally coming around.
There was some quick thinking. You know, talk about split second decisions.
Right.
You know, you got to make those. You got to make those battlefield decisions.
That's fantastic.
That's great. I've always wondered this. So you've probably the two most famous coaches.
She wasn't pregnant though. I would have.
You would have. You would have had that. You would have had that. Well, on the record, that whoever's listening to this right now who has that ball, just know you were lucky that Coach Harbaugh's wife is pregnant, because that ball wouldn't be in your
possession. Actually Coach's ball. He's, he's letting you rinse it out.
He did catch it clean.
Probably.
He caught a bare hander.
He
deserved it.
But he'd seen you coming.
I made him nervous.
You would have heard some fuss.
Like, hey, if you're down there.
Jim Harbaugh? Yeah.
I'm telling you right now. If you're down there, you know, you're not hitting them. You're not doing anything illegal. No, but if you're down there, you know, ankle, knee level. Yeah. You know, it gets them a little jittery.
No rules. Mm-hmm. It's like international waters.
Exactly. So you and your brother are very famous coaches. The other famous coaching duo would be the Gruden family. And I remember it was on Monday Night Football last year. John was talking about what he used to give Jay for Christmas. He would just go out into the yard and just get rocks and wrap up rocks and wrapping paper, and that would be his present to his brother. What did you get your brother for Christmas when you were younger?
Younger? Like we were kids. I don't think we ever got anything for each other for Christmas. Yeah, I know we always got the same thing. We got the exact same present.
That's a good way to avoid a fight.
Pajamas, underwear, sheets, you know, whatever it was, we were getting the same. Yeah. We didn't get toys too often.
Right.
You know? And I distinctly remember that because my birthday is 2 days before Christmas. So we would literally get the same gift. And mine was a happy birthday, Merry Christmas. And
his, he's got cheated.
It's rough.
He was a, hey, you know, it's okay, though. I mean, a lot of things are going on around Christmas. You got people spending money in a lot of different ways. You know, tough to get to throw the birthday present in addition.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been good. You know, not so good when you're younger to have that birthday. But as a, you know, guy in his 40s, 50s, especially, you know, 30s even. I mean, you're kind of happy because nobody knows it's your birthday.
Right.
Another year came and went.
Nice.
And
that's a nice spin zone.
It's not even like, it's not even marked that you got a year older. So you're.
I like that.
It's a key to eternal life.
You're living on leap years. Yeah.
Yeah. Too young to slow down. And, you know, if you don't talk old, you don't act old, then you're going to have more good years.
Jesus was born on Christmas too. So
yeah,
there you go.
There it is. Who wins in a wrestling match? Harbaugh brothers, Ryan brothers, Gruden brothers.
Oh yeah, I've always just not liked to compare things.
Okay,
it's just kind of been a principle. Whenever you compare, somebody gets diminished.
Mm-hmm.
So try to avoid it.
That's a nice way of saying you guys would win. appreciate that. That was really nice. That was, you've worked on that. That's a really nice way.
They, I mean, they, you know, they're pretty gritty guys. The Ryan brothers, you know,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They're, Gruden, very well-trained guy, you know, John, mm-hmm. especially he's gets after the weight, stays
yeah.
in shape, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Who would you say?
I think we're all probably, well, maybe we're all like, I mean, I haven't gotten a real wrestling match or fight since I was 39, so.
Who was that with?
I thought you were going to say like 8.
39.
Who's the last person you wrestled?
Who's that with?
I don't want to go into the details, but okay. Yeah.
Yeah, so 39.
Did
so
you win? Like
39. I don't know if I really won.
No one really wins when you wrestle at 39.
That was a fist fight. That was a fist fight.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So yeah,
couple guys in a it was like a Bennigan's type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody had made a comment about
late night.
It goes down to Bennigan's.
Significant other, yeah. And, yeah. Took exception, and yep. You know the
that happens.
You did what you had to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. I took a couple shots. I mean, but there was like two guys. You know, one was sent from the side, I did not win. I can't say that I won, but
it got resolved.
I didn't get crushed either.
Yeah.
All right. I got some blows in.
There you go. So speaking of not speaking of fights, but maybe my favorite moment, and I don't know if you ever relive it in your head, the Jim Schwartz standoff at Ford Field.
Yeah.
Not because of you versus Jim Schwartz though, because of a certain Bob Lang who came flying in there. To break the whole thing up. Did yeah. you after were you like, Bob, I've been a long fan of Bob Lang, which is a weird thing to say. Yeah. I'm a long fan of a PR guy.
Yeah.
But he came flying in out of nowhere yeah. and broke that thing up. Did was that part of his job? Like, hey, if things get heated, you gotta be the guy to break up whatever Coach Harbaugh gets.
So not at all. You know, that was I went in too hard on the too aggressive on yeah. on the handshake.
Yeah.
You know, that was I've since you know, change that. You know, not doing that anymore. And Jim and I are, you know, he was, can't blame him.
Right.
You know, I went in too hard, too aggressively on the handshake. And, yeah, you know, you respect him for, you know, whatever, taking an exception for that. I respect that. And we've talked and, yeah, we're good, you know.
So softer handshakes.
We're back to
now.
Friends. Huh?
Softer handshakes now.
Yeah, I mean, just. There's a protocol and a post-game handshake. You know, I've been there as the winner. I've been there as the loser. You know, you just, hey,
but you know
nice
what?
Game, and then go celebrate.
I appreciate. You know,
premature celebration
yeah,
there. And,
yeah. But I appreciate in the wrong. Because, like, now everyone pretends to be buddy-buddy. I appreciate a little rivalry. It's like the old, you know, Pete Carroll handshake. That was – These teams don't like each other. That's fun. That's what makes sports fun.
Yeah, I think there's but the you know the post game handshake isn't the place for anything.
Yeah,
you
that's
know?
Fair. Okay.
It, you know if you're bitter, then change the I to an E. You know,
right?
Don't get bitter. Get better.
I love
you
it.
Know? It nothing's really changing at the post game handshake.
Right. Just true.
Professionally shake hands and go on our way.
Well, you're giving so us you a know. Lot of T-shirt ideas right yeah. now. Like I yeah. think we've got five.
We're that coming out with a ton of T-shirts.
Steal all of these yeah. and
just one. That
we'll send you a royalty
on
check,
it.
Maybe. No, yeah. probably not. Yeah.
You got anything else?
No, I think we're good here.
All right.
Oh yeah, so, I did have one. Who's the grittiest player that you've ever coached?
So many. That's the thing. I mean, now you're gonna be in the compare world.
Oh yeah.
Hate to diminish anybody, but Justin Smith, Frank Gore. Alex Smith, Colin Kaepernick, so many. Joe Staley.
Joe's a friend of ours, yeah.
Owen Marisic, Andrew Luck.
Toby.
Toby Gerhardt.
Yeah.
You know,
there
for
it is.
Sure. Nobody likes a big back like I do. you know, so many good tight ends. Jake Butt, gritty, you know, phenomenal. It's just – I could keep going here, and I apologize if I'm leaving anybody out here.
No,
but there's,
yeah.
You put him into a category. I mean, okay, you call him. He's a football player, you know, in quotation, football player, and it really sums up everything that I think is good about being a football player. You know, But been around some real, real great ones that way. Cap Boso, guys that I played with. Glenn Kozlowski.
Tom Waddle.
Tom Waddle.
That's a gritty guy.
That's a gritty dude, man.
That's a gritty guy.
There's no question about it. So many. Kurt Laudermilk, Will Wolford. Could go on a while here.
That's it. You attract grit.
I think I would even say to, you know, to anybody that plays football, you know, it is a hard, tough, rough sport, but you love it, you know, and you crave it. And even somebody that's played 4 years of high school football, they'll know what we're talking about here.
Right.
Because they learn, you know, they learn to be, they build a callus. They learn to be tougher. You know, it's, you know, you can't fake things. And I never really hear somebody that's played 4 years of high school football say, man, I wish I wouldn't have played that. Wish I hadn't have done that, you know. But I've heard other guys that didn't go out for football, I wish I had played football. You know, I'd have been good football. The guys that play 4 years of high school football are glad that they did, and they learned about it. They learned stuff about themselves, and they learned to be grittier.
Love it. Coach Harbaugh, thank you so much. Oh, we had one final thing. We did bring some milk. If we could share a little milk with you.
I'd love to. Okay. Yeah, it's about that time of the day.
That interview was brought to you by MeUndies. Guess what? It's Pride Month, and it's 2016. So you can love whoever you want to love, even if that's yourself. Practice self-love, guys. MeUndies makes the ultimate feel-good undies with free shipping right to your door, satisfaction guaranteed. They're designed in L.A. Every pair of MeUndies is made with micromodal, a fabric three times softer than cotton. They're soft, stretchy undies coming in an ever-changing array of colors and patterns. No matter what their style, they've got something for you. Guess what? We're on Grit Week right now. We didn't pack anything except for underwear. I just loaded my bag up with MeUndies. Did you guys put MeUndies in your bag?
Yep.
Hell yeah.
They are the best underwear on the planet. And if you need another reason to try MeUndies, they're offering 20% off your first pair and a satisfaction guarantee that you'll love them or your money back. Just visit our URL, MeUndies.com/take. Head to MeUndies today. Pick up a pair of special edition Celebrate Undies. You'll not only get a discount on awesome undies, you'll be donating to an amazing cause. Check out MeUndies.com/take today.
That was Jim Harbaugh. I hope you all enjoyed it. A couple notes, little nuggets we're going to throw out there. On Thursday, we're going to throw out a little video we have of Milk Boys with Jim Harbaugh. We chugged milk with him after the interview. So that video is coming out on Thursday. Make sure you download the Barstool Sports app to watch it. And then on Friday, we're going to release a whole video of the interview also on the Barstool Sports app. You have to have the Barstool Sports app to watch that video. So get excited. We are going to release both those things. Also Thursday with the Jim Harbaugh Milk Boys. We got a little behind the scenes of Vandy Woodhead, our trips to Toledo, Eastern Michigan, Maction, all that grit. Get excited. Stay excited. Let's go to segments. First up, we have thoughts and prayers for Mike Zimmer. Mike Zimmer is now on his eighth eye surgery. What do you even remember what actually happened to start this?
How many times can they cut into a man's eye? That, like, what can they fix that they didn't get on, like, the fifth turn?
I hate to do this because Mike Zimmer is a football guy and we love him, but at some point, wouldn't a football guy just say, take the fucking eye out?
Yes.
Put in a glass eye and have it be the logo of whatever team I'm coaching?
Yeah, a football guy would wake up in the middle of the night with a spoon. Just go to his kitchen, get a spoon, and just pop that sucker right out.
Put some chaw in.
And just stuff it with some red, man, natural coagulant.
Yep.
You're not going to bleed. That's fine. Yeah, I'm thinking this might be a situation where he might be afraid of what's going to happen to his quarterback, Teddy Bridgewater. It's like, have you ever seen a parent at a sporting event afraid to watch their son or daughter if they're the goalie? Mike Zimmer is afraid to watch Teddy Bridgewater practice because he's back now. He doesn't want to see him get hurt again.
Yep.
So he's just like, he's finding excuses to
just
practice.
Not go to practice. I don't know. I just think I don't want to do it. We've actually never done it. We've never revoked a football man card.
And I'm not going to start with Mike Zimmer.
Yeah, but maybe scoop that eye out, Mike. Next up, we have Fair Play. So for any new listeners who are listening to their first Pardon My Take today, Fair Play, we do this with Mike and Mike. Actually, we do it with anyone who we think we deem to have stolen something from us. Usually it's they didn't really steal it. We just claim they stole it. So Fair Play, Mike and Mike, if you haven't heard, Mike and Mike are not speaking.
as first reported on Part of My Take 6 months ago?
Yeah, when we had Mike Golic on. So yeah. They are in an icy, icy relationship. They are not speaking at all off air.
You know,
they are professionals, so they're speaking on air.
All that means is the makeup sex is going to be incredible.
Yeah,
between those two.
Yeah, when they get all teary eyed and talk about the good times,
the room is going to be dripping with stalactites.
Yes, when they talk about Mike when he was fat, he used to be fat, not fat anymore.
And then Greeny back in high school didn't play sports.
Yeah. So either way, here is our fair play of Mike and Mike not talking.
Hey guys, we're going on in three. If you guys want to talk over the show like you always do, the notes are on your desk. 3 minutes.
Never know how to get in the zone. I roll some. 8, 10, 7, come on, okay. Donate your car today.
All right, we're going on in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome back to Mike and Mike, my wife.
Oh, great. I love you, man. You're so sweet. I think we nailed it.
That's pretty good.
By the way, I had a thought, and this might be crazy, but which Mike comes first?
What do you mean?
Well, it's Mike and Mike.
Oh, you mean like in the name Mike and Mike?
Yeah, because that might be part of the tension here. Mike is the Mike first Mike?
I always assumed it was Golic.
I always assumed it was Greeny.
Wow.
Yeah.
So they probably have, they've been secretly having this war with each other for
they've
years.
They've been like, oh yeah, I'm that's me, Mike. I'm Mike, and he's Mike.
How great is it that their names were the same? I mean, like that's probably gift. The biggest key to the
gift from the radio
yes,
gods.
Holy shit.
Either way.
Let's change our names.
Okay.
To be the same.
Jake and Jake.
Jake and Jake.
Yeah. Perfect. It's Jake and Jake show. Yeah.
Just jaking off over here.
And then
here.
Hank's name will be Jacob.
Mm-hmm.
Either way, I think that's part of it. The Mike and Mike situation. It's probably a like, hey, big cat, you've been staying up too late, maybe smoking a little weed, whatever. Mike and Mike, which Mike is the first Mike?
Naturally, I thought that it was alphabetical.
Mm-mm.
So Golic, then Greeny.
I think both think they are the first Mike.
Wow. That's, yeah. You're blowing my mind right
now. Yes, I know. All right. We next up have Bachelor Talk for guys who don't watch Bachelor. So is it Bachelorette?
Bachelorette started.
Bachelorette is back.
The crux of this segment is we refuse to watch these shows, but every other sports podcast and sports blog does an update on them.
So
we're going to help you guys so you don't actually have to watch the show just like us, but you'll kind of sort
water cooler talk.
Yeah, you'll sort of know what you sound like at the office.
And if you want actually in-depth analysis, we have a podcast called Coming Up Roses with our friends Kelly Keegs, Barstool Trent, and Barstool Chief. You can follow them all on Twitter, and they do a great podcast. So listen to that if you're a Bachelor fan. But if you just want to get the water cooler talk, we got you covered.
All right, this was the first night, limo introductions. One of the guys brought out a giant block of ice, smashed it with a hammer, and that's how he broke the ice.
Ooh.
That's a football guy move right there.
Yeah, literal. That's very like literal. The guy, yeah. That's leaving, like James Franklin giving juice boxes to all his players saying, bring your own juice.
Leaving nothing up to chance. But then, see, here's the problem. He gives the guy behind him a really good line, being like, looks like that dude's freezing you out.
Ooh.
And then she just melts.
Yeah.
That was dead.
Did it?
Yeah, there we go.
That was a mistake. That was an accident.
During his introduction, Blake E. bragged about how awesome his dick is for about 5 minutes straight.
Yeah. Mm.
Okay. What's the problem?
I don't hate that strategy.
Just putting it out there, yeah.
Yeah, because it's one of those situations where it's none of the other guys, all the other guys are competition. They're not going to brag about your dick.
All these other cucks aren't going to have the balls to say like, hey, I'm packing a solid 9-incher.
Right. Why send a boy to do a man's job when you can do it yourself? I think that's the saying. Why send a boy to do a man's job when you can just brag about your dick yourself on national television and no way will you regret this decision? That's the saying.
If there's one thing that I know about women, it's that they love, the only thing they love more than receiving unsolicited dick pics is just having a guy describe his dick to you.
Cock talk.
Yes. Unsolicited dick description is even better.
Yeah. Hey. So there's quick a segment.
So check it out.
Quick new segment, guys. Cock talk.
So I got
mine's the, not so good.
I got this shaft and then.
No.
But it's
got cock talk.
It's got a shaft.
Yeah, but you know. Mine's not so good. What about you guys? Cock talk.
My cock is just, you know, it's a cock of the walk, baby.
Yeah.
Well, no, I haven't used it in so long.
Oh!
All right, next up.
Finally, a guy named Lucas says his job is Waboom. He never explains what Waboom is. He just yells Waboom and wears a Waboom shirt.
Okay. That's the guy that's on every reality show who comes out knowing that he's going to make like a catchphrase or like be known for one thing, copyright it, and then sell T-shirts for 6 months and make $10,000.
Well, is this not an app? Is Waboom an app? He sounds like one of those fake like tech guys who's trying to he's just trying to get his Series A. He's trying to get his seed money for Waboom. It's going to be the next app for all you people out there that you like the boomerangs on Instagram. Ooh. Well, Waboom only does boomerangs.
Waboom is Tinder for people who are actually physically on a reality dating show at that time.
So it's just the chick and the guy with the 9-inch cock.
And you just swipe right.
Yeah.
And it's just her over and over again. She's like, I get it.
Oh, no. Maybe the staff that does the food catering. We can probably sexually harass one of them.
Oh, yeah. So hook up with one of the PAs.
Yeah, right.
Sounds lucrative.
That's it.
All right. Great Bachelor talk, guys. I'm sure there's going to be a great season. They're going to find love. I'm going to predict it right now. I'm calling my shot. Love.
Waboom.
Waboom. All right. We have Protect the Shield real quick. Roger Goodell. He is like a parent who has taken away like all your rights. It's basically like you can't have a car. You can't have a license. Oh, he's going to let you ride this shitty old bicycle. He is letting some people – he's letting the players do some kind of celebration this year after touchdowns.
Yeah.
So he said this. This is the greatest quote ever. We know that you love the spontaneous displays of emotion that come after a spectacular touchdown. If the theory's out there Roger Goodell's a robot, this is Exhibit A.
I love spontaneity.
Spectacular.
Actually,
that's the least spontaneous sentence about spontaneity.
Right. It's been a while since we've done our Roger Goodell impressions. I think we should bring it back.
I don't think you've ever done one.
Certainly.
This probably just could be Mike Greenberg.
Certainly, it's very acceptable to us to certainly see players enjoy
bail,
themselves.
Bail, abort, 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 abort.
And certainly
you're just talking in a weird voice.
That we're going to be looking at,
yeah.
Certainly.
Either way, this is a classic Goodell move. He's giving you a little taste.
Barry Sanders is rolling over in his grave.
Yeah.
With this new rule.
Yes.
You hand the ball to the official. You act like you've been there before. I think Goodell he's secretly letting the players do this. But you know he's keeping a hit list.
Yes.
So if he sees a player go to ground or use the ball as a prop, heaven forbid, he's writing your name down on a sheet of paper and he's going to pay to have you killed.
No group demonstrations still. And celebrating on the ground. I don't even know what the fuck that means. Either way, fuck you, Roger.
I think Goodell's going to go on like a – here's what's going to happen. This offseason, after he implements this new rule, he's going to go on like a John Wick adventure. And just roll around killing all the players that he knows are going to violate this rule. DeSean Jackson has a bounty on his head right now. I'll put it that way.
Well, DeSean can't. He doesn't celebrate because he throws the football down before he gets the goal.
Before he gets there.
Yeah, right. Explain it to Hank. We're going to finish with explain it to Hank. Hank, we have something to explain to you. We bought you a pet.
Yes. So we're going to give you a pet. Hmm. And your mission is to keep this pet alive and feed it. And
document it.
Document. Keep a log on it. Mm-hmm. Let people know how it's doing.
We want to do this before we get Larry 3 to make sure that you're responsible enough to keep a pet alive.
We're taking one step back because you showed that you couldn't really take care of a goldfish. Yeah. So the next best thing is right here in my hands. It's a Tamagotchi. Mm. This was hot in the streets back in 1995.
Yeah, do you have any idea what this? So it's Hank, like a – do you know what Nintendogs was?
Nope.
Hank, okay. It's called a virtual pet. Yeah. Okay, so you take it out.
You got to feed it every day.
Mm-hmm. You have to take it on walks.
Don't overfeed it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is your virtual pet that you are now going to – yes, I know what you're thinking. Like, is this some crazy weird thing that you old guys used to do? Yeah,
we
loved it. You put it on your keychain and you keep your Tamagotchi alive.
What do you want to name it? Oh, is it a bird? What kind of animal is it?
Can I name it Tommy?
Well, do we know if it's a girl or a guy? Remember, it's 2016.
You have to let it decide what gender neutral here. Let it decide what gender it is before you name it.
Right. So we'll just see what its personality is.
Gender friendly name.
Tommy? Yeah.
Yeah, it could be TOMI. She might come out spewing hot takes about Colin Kaepernick.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. There we go. So
wow, thanks guys.
Yeah, you're gonna keep it
alive.
Hopefully
PFT doesn't murder it.
Well, Hank, that's up to you. So if you leave it out in the open and leave it exposed, then I might come by and murder it.
All right. So Hank has a Tamagotchi pet named Thommy.
Tommy?
Tommy. It's either British or an American girl with a really shitty name.
And a terrible television show.
Yes. Well, no, not anymore.
You're right.
So that, so everyone follow. Hank is going to be live tweeting.
We'll make keeping... you a Twitter account for the Tamagotchi.
Yeah, exactly. All right. That's our show. We'll see everyone on Friday. We are in Cleveland right now. We're going to Columbus. Then we're going to Cincinnati. Then we're going to Indy. So we'll be at Indy 500 with Barstool Heartland. Shout out Pat McAfee. We're excited to party with everyone there. We have a big, big guest coming on Friday as well.
Yes.
Grit Week continues.
I'm just going to say, those cities that Big Cat listed right there, those are all the cities definitely that we're going to. There's not an extra one that we're stopping by.
Huh.
There's no mystery guest. That's it.
All right. We'll see you guys on Friday.
Love you guys.
You know, young rich niggas. You know, so we ain't really never had no old money. We got a whole lot of new money, though. Rain drop, drop top, smoking no cook in the hot pot. Fucking on your bitch, yeah, that. Cooking up dope in the crock pot. We came from nothing to something, nigga. Hey. I don't trust nobody with the trigger bite. Call up the gang and they come and get yanked. Grab me a river, give you a tissue. Bad and bougie, bad. Cooking up dope with a Uzi. My niggas is sad as roofies. We got 30s and 100 rounds too. My bitch is bad and bougie, bad. Cooking up dope with a Uzi. Dude. My niggas is sad as roofies. Hey. We got 30s and 100 rounds too. All set. Records on records, get back. Get back, get some riding around in a cool. I take your beat right from you. Bitch, I'm a dog. Beat down her wall.